Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Ball's at their own 28. Quick snap for Aller, looking left. Can't get it out. Now pressure coming. Aller throws. Loose ball. Yes! Intercepted. Christian Gray picks it off at the 42-yard line. Notre Dame will get the ball back with 33 seconds left in the game. What a big-time pick from Christian Gray.
50 Shades, Christian Gray, Notre Dame Radio Network, and that set up the game-winning field goal. Mitch Jeter knocks in a 41-yard field goal with just a few seconds left on the clock. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Notre Dame Pearl moves on to play for the national championship. They'll get the winner of tonight's game, Texas-Ohio State. First time in 12 years that the Irish are going to be playing for all the Tostitos.
Yeah, it's funny, too, because first 12-team playoff, Penn State would have made the Final Four. Notre Dame would not have. So this is a, we're already seeing the results of the 12-team playoff, giving us a new finalist that would, I don't think they would have made the four. It would have been close. So, and also the draw, let's face it, like Notre Dame got the right draw. This is definitely a result of the 12-team playoff, but I think it's been great. Like the fact that we finally got like a classic game out of this, to me, is proof of concept that the 12-team playoff is better than the 4-team.
I saw you tweeted last night, long live the 12-team playoff. I don't want to shortchange Notre Dame here. I know it wasn't the same Georgia team as years past, but,
right, but
that was a big win. I mean, you could look at Penn State and say, all right, you got to welcome in SMU, a warm weather team, came to Happy Valley, had to play in 20-degree weather. Then you got to play Boise State, which is, you know, a great team, but obviously has one star that they're really built around. And then this was a game that really could have gone either way down to the fourth quarter. 31 points were scored in the fourth quarter alone. And it's a shame for Drew Aller, but this pick was unforgivable. And he said he was trying to dirt the ball, but he's throwing blind to the middle of the field late as he's getting smothered. Mm-hmm. It's just like everything not to do as a quarterback. I'm sure he'll learn from this. I'm not trying to pile on a young man. He's got a great career ahead of him, and this will probably make him better and put a chip on his shoulder. But it was just a terrible moment for him, and it set up his opponent.
But you say you don't want to shortchange Notre Dame, but let's have a real talk here.
Yeah.
Just amongst us friends.
Okay.
Like, is this a great team?
I don't know. I don't know if there is a great team in college football right now. Ohio State looks like one.
On paper, I think Ohio State is a great team.
And they've played like a great team in the last two games.
Yeah, no, I totally understand what you're saying. But I just look at Notre Dame seems like a flawed team amongst many flawed teams. Maybe they just have a little more heart than other teams. I'm not even sure. So, yeah, I mean, like they beat Georgia, but like, what's Georgia? Would the coaching staff at Georgia in a coma? How did they not know Riley Leonard was going to be? Because Penn State knew immediately.
Yeah.
They sniffed out the entire Notre Dame offense in 2 seconds. And I was like, wow, why didn't Georgia do that? I watched the first half of that game where Notre Dame was lucky to get a field goal in the entire first half. That's what I'm saying. Like, they're not classically a great team. They almost got shut out for an entire half of football. Like, that doesn't happen to a juggernaut.
No, it doesn't. I thought maybe Oregon was a great team.
Yeah, Oregon and Ohio State seem like the two best teams.
And
yeah,
it's a shame that they met, you know, so early on in this playoff, but that was the way this seeding went this time around. I thought Oregon got hosed because they were the number one overall seed and had to play Ohio State in the first round. It was just kind of a bummer. But
it doesn't feel like Joe Burrow going against Alabama right now.
That's one of the all-time great teams, that 2019
right.
LSU.
But I don't think we're going to ever, my point too is that we're never going to have those great teams again. It's not going to happen because of NIL. It's spreading the town all over the place. But the other question is, like, where's the air raid offense? What happened to the, where's the spread offense?
I think we're back to the ground and pound. We're back to running quarterbacks, I think, is what's happening. The quarterbacks are now some of the most athletic guys on the field. That's the biggest change.
I mean, we had great running backs last night, too.
That's true. Great running backs, including Jeremiah Love, who's playing with this gigantic knee brace and was still able to hurdle a defender. Yeah. It ended up at that play and keeping the drive alive, ended up setting up the biggest and most explosive play of the night, which was a 54-yard touchdown to Great House.
And he dragged like four guys into the end zone, too, on a bum knee. Amazing.
Yeah, pretty wild. I guess I'm picking up from you that even though you maybe were impressed with Notre Dame last night, or
no, I was not impressed with Notre Dame last night.
So you do not believe that there's any shot that they can win the national title?
I do think there's two shots. One, if Texas wins tonight, which I think is realistic. I mean, you never know with Ohio State. That would I think Notre Dame could beat Texas. In fact, I would pick Notre Dame over Texas. That's it.
No, if it's Ohio State, it's a wrap.
I think I'm going there. Yeah, is that a mistake? It sounds like a terrible mistake because Notre Dame has defied some odds here, and they were resilient. I also wonder, like, last night their line looked great after the injuries, but is their left tackle playing? They're missing that big defensive tackle. They, you know, Riley Leonard, he had a concussion clearly last night, and I just don't think he's not playing well enough to beat an Ohio State. So, man, I sound like a hater today, but you just look at that team on paper. It was 10-0, and it should have been 14-0, and there was a minute left in the first half, and they had scored no points. I mean, I don't mean to bring this up again, but you bet the under. And yeah. I was like, that is the easiest, safest. Did it feel like the most no-brainer bet of all time?
I felt like I was going to be starting off the week. I went 0-5 last week in my picks. I'm like, all right, this is great. I'm going to put the boat in the water with a win here. You know, I'm going to get this under. It's going to cash. I believe I said to the group text, if this goes over, I will walk into the Hudson River.
Yeah,
I'm not doing that.
But yeah, Notre Dame didn't seem like they had any answers on offense until they came out in the second half and were able to run the ball a little better.
You know, a weird quirk of this game, which I don't think should be understated, was when Riley Leonard got knocked out, the backup quarterback, yes, Steven Jelly, who in a weird twist went to the high school that Bill Belichick was recruiting at yesterday, the private school in New Jersey, Bergen Catholic, and he came in and started throwing the ball.
Yeah.
And he looked good, and maybe that showed Marcus Freeman or something like, hey, there's throws to be had here. Because it's odd, the backup quarterback almost gave the proof of concept, like, hey, we can move the ball a little bit more on Penn State than we thought.
Did you have the thought maybe that guy should stay in the game?
I saw a lot of that on social media.
Yeah.
I did not think that he was at UEJ. You thought he should stay in the game?
Yeah, that was definitely ringing that chorus.
I mean, here's the thing, though. You can't do that to Leonard.
Wait, what do you mean? Who cares?
You couldn't have benched him right
there.
Well,
he was hurt. I mean, it would have
been concussion protocol.
It would have been a straight benching. You would have said, I mean, if you could. Up until that point, the backup was clearly better than Riley Leonard. Riley Leonard was inaccurate, and he was having no success running the ball.
Yeah, I think what happened a little bit was the backup quarterback, you have no time to think. You just got to come in and execute the play, and he did that. If you have a whole halftime to start thinking about it, and maybe now you get a little nervous and all of that, I think they obviously made the right decision because they won the game.
Well, I don't know.
I would have been shocked if they stayed with him.
It's so funny. I don't quite see it that way. I thought Leonard did not even play that great in the second half. Like, he's really not throwing the ball well right now. He had that big 55-yard play. That was a nice pass. But every time he drops back and he has to actually throw, like, you're not quite sure what's going to happen.
855-212-4227. Can Notre Dame win the whole thing? We'll tell you about the bulletin board material that was handed to Notre Dame on a silver platter. But first, Jeff is in Tucson. Wants to talk about tonight's tilt, and that would be Ohio State and Texas. Jeff, how do you see this one?
Hey, how you doing, Maggie?
Doing great.
Great. Called you the other day about that Cavalier game.
You did.
And thought I'd call you back. That was an epic game. Tonight, we're looking at wide receivers running wild on the Texas defense. They can't cover anybody. And, you know, it's like, Maggie, I hate to say it, but that Ohio State is a juggernaut. We're not going back to the Michigan game and run and beat ourselves up. You'll never see that again. And you know what else? Notre Dame cannot cover anybody, and Downs will be the spy on the quarterback for Stern.
Jeff, it's not a bad thought. Thank you for making it. All things Ohio from Jeff in Tucson.
Why would Downs be the spy? He spies the pass game. He's like breaks up every single pass.
Yeah, but maybe they're just thinking, let's put our best guy on him.
He gives up a ton of size to Riley Leonard.
Do you think that Jeremiah Smith's going to have a big game tonight?
Oh my God,
not?
Totally.
Okay, but
I don't know why. By the way, what he's talking about is Texas can't cover anybody. Actually, I don't know Is that true that they're...
I think for Texas, the bigger thing is going to be trying to get home on Will Howard. You know, try to disrupt him, try to put, you know, be in his lap. That's what Michigan did. That's the blueprint to try to beat him. And he was just getting the ball out so quick against Oregon. I don't even know really if the Ohio State offensive line was actually playing that much better. I just think Will Howard was getting the ball out. And somehow, if Texas can be a little bit more in his face... Let's see what happens.
Yeah, I don't think anyone has gotten to Texas's defense yet this year, except for one half of Carson Beck, and that was a weird, weird game. So I'm not sure Texas's defense. Did you see the against Arizona State? Like, I mean, it was five wins at the offensive line every time. So it's a different game, I think, than Oregon. I think Texas has more NFL players on their particular defense. So we'll see. It's going to be an interesting game. I think the fact that everyone's counting Texas out, does that get Texas fired up?
Well, I took the points, so I basically just put the kibosh on them the way that I've been betting. But can I bring something back to a show discussion that we had in the last round? It was a big, big debate about whether Texas-Arizona State was an all-time great college football game. Generally, all of us thought yes, except for Perloff.
Yeah.
Did you consider last night an all-time great college football game? Because Sean McDonough said it. I saw a lot of it on social media. This was the classic. I'm like, you know what? This was a very fun game in the fourth quarter, just like Arizona State and Texas got fun in the fourth quarter. I thought Arizona State and Texas, though, had more like weird twists and turns. This one had a quarterback made a bad throw and a guy picked it off was kind of the biggest moment.
Yeah, this was maybe top 15 all-time college game.
Really? So you thought this one was an all-time great?
Yeah, because the stakes are so much higher, too, because, I mean, unless Texas surprises everyone, like, that Texas-Arizona State game, it was the round of eight, and you assume that the winner of that was going to go away in the next round. And just, you know, like the iconic helmets of Notre Dame and Penn State, like, there is a lot going on. This felt
Texas
huge.
Is such a blue blood program, though. I know Arizona State might not fall in that category, but Texas is certainly doing its part to be iconic.
Yeah, but just the way I thought that was a particularly poorly played game, Texas-Arizona State.
What did you think of last night?
This one was definitely not good quarterback play. I don't know. If we put up a ball, I think this game just felt bigger and greater, and it was so dramatic the way the fourth quarter unfolded, where Arizona State was like one team came back like crazy, and Cam Scataboo was great. It's a great story, but it felt like, I don't know, it just the stakes weren't just quite the same.
Interesting, because it's still one and done, no matter what. Like, you're still in a single elimination, I feel like stakes are similar.
Right, but it's the round of eight, and neither team is a title contender.
Yeah, it's funny. I thought the Texas-Arizona State was more, like, unbelievable because Scataboo, you know, throwing a 50-yard, 40-yard touchdown pass and the fake punt and the, you know, double overtime and Quinn Ewers, you know, completing a 4th-and-13, you know, for everything. Like, I thought that one actually was a little bit more exciting, but last night was great. I don't think it was an all-time great game for me, though.
Unless Notre Dame
wins the title.
Like, think about this. Like, if you have a game that is in the Final Four and there's an epic last shot, that means a lot more than the round before. Like, for example... That's really where, like, just the stakes. And say Ali Farouk Manesh hits the big game winner in NCAA tournament lore, or Bryce Drew. Like, those are top 20, but they're not top five because the stakes were low. Because we knew those teams weren't going to win the titles.
Okay, so Pine Needles in the chat, you want to watch the show, youtube.com/InfinitySportsNet, twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork, and we're on X at Maggie Gray. We say good morning to our Infinity Sports Network affiliates. We love you. We're obsessed with you. The free Odyssey app is a great way to listen to the show as well. But Pino says, Maggie, last night's game cannot even come close to the Arizona State game. It's not even in the same room. Much better ASU game. I'm with Pine Needle on this.
Let's do a poll. Let's get it out there, baby.
It's up already.
All right. EJ wasting no time.
Love it.
What'd you think, EJ?
I thought this game was really good. I thought the Arizona State game was better.
I'm not going to ask Manny because he's too close to he's a Penn State fan, licking his wounds today. You're a little too close to the project.
Yeah, this is not a data.
Well, I got to feel, I think when people are going to go back and do lists of great games, the fact that it's Notre Dame and Penn State is going to get it higher on the list than the brands of Texas and Arizona State. You're right, Texas is a huge brand, but Arizona State has no real football history.
Let me ask you this, though. Of both games, who played the best in terms of one in singular player.
Cam Scadaboo.
Right. Everyone's going to remember what Cam Scadaboo did. I don't think anybody's going to remember any singular performance from this game.
Mm. It would have been Singleton with three touchdowns.
Or Abdul Carter.
Or Abdul Carter.
Abdul Carter would get remembered, but unlike Cam Scadaboo lost, and we're still going to remember him, I think that those guys losing hurts way more. Like, I think that it's got to be, especially Abdul Carter may end up being like, you know, the next Michael Parsons and an NFL legend. We're going to forget about the fact that, oh, by the way, remember in that game he lost in college football? He was amazing. Like, his NFL career might actually overshadow game.
Yeah.
I feel like this, you know, actually, I'll be honest, a lot of people were putting on social media, this is a top 10 all-time game last night.
I saw it. I was surprised.
I think it's partly the two iconic programs going against each other instead of one. Also, it's Notre Dame. It's deeper in the playoffs. Notre Dame hasn't been there in forever. Texas was in the Final Four last year. I just think there are a lot of little reasons why. The Arizona State game feels like the Boise State-Oklahoma game, which is on all-time list.
Which is an all-time great game.
But it wasn't a title game. Right. So I think it's really the stakes. This game also, you're going to look back on it in 10 years. You're going to say, oh, my God, that guy was in that game. Because you could tell a lot of these guys are going to be in the pros. We might not know him now. I feel like Jeremiah Love is going to be an NFL player for sure. I feel like Abdul Carter is going to be huge. All the Notre Dame defenders. It's, you know, don't you get that sense? Like, we'll look back on this game and be like, oh, my God, that guy was in this game. It's one of those, like, classic football games.
No doubt.
Where Arizona State, Cam Scadaboo and Texas, but it just didn't feel as big to me. I think I'm going to win this poll. I'm feeling good about this, which maybe people will now go on the internet and vote against me.
And vote against you. At Maggie and Pearl on X. I had another thought off of this game, and it was about one of the coaches and their future. I heard some familiar refrains last night of coaches kind of complaining a little bit about the state of college football. We'll get to that in just a moment. You're welcome to call up about this game at 855-212-4227. We have a lot of NFL playoff preview stuff to get to as well. Hang tight. It's M&P.
Welcome back, Maggie Perloff, breaking down the semifinal game. Great game. Notre Dame versus Penn State. You could go to our X feed at Maggie and Pearl, vote which was a more classic game. I love this poll. Notre Dame, Penn State, or Arizona State, Texas. Both really close games. I guess Arizona State, Texas went to overtime, maybe gives it an edge.
Double OT.
But I just feel like, I mean, come on, those helmets last night, this was college football on one field. There was just so much darn history. You couldn't help but be excited. It's been so long for Notre Dame that I think the excitement level last night just seemed off the charts.
Yeah, I think that the Texas-Arizona State game was definitely more exciting, you know, in how it finished. But last night was also great. 31 fourth quarter points were scored, but it didn't have like all the twists and turns necessarily that Texas-Arizona State game had. But you mentioned it as a throwback. Yeah. The nostalgia was definitely a big part of it last night, and James Franklin was really leaning into that after the game. They lost, obviously, Penn State did, but he started talking about how they want this to be a throwback program, and it's got to be about more than just NIL and transactional. And you know, I hear this, I feel like, a lot from some of the older coaches, and he called himself a dinosaur. He says, I'm old school. And again, this is all after the loss. It was the first time it creeped across my mind. I'm like, man, is James Franklin like a little burnout on this? Or is some, you know, is there a change coming? Or I don't know. It can't go to a different college program because you're going to have the same exact issues. I've never heard of James Franklin in the NFL, so I don't know if that would be a thing. But it crossed my mind, Perloff. You know, you get a lot of these coaches complaining about what's going on with NIL right now.
Yeah, it's funny. I was thinking about, and this is totally shallow, and this is not like a study. I feel like you could tell where the transfer portal is. To me, there's one position that is greatly affected by the transfer portal. Receiver.
Yeah,
I always
and they
feel
need
like,
it.
Like, receivers always jump in the transfer portal.
Penn State needs to tap into that portal for the receivers. They had no completions to receivers in the game last night.
I still remember I was talking to DJU's dad, and he said, I can't stand that his whole career was gutted at Clemson because they would never go into the portal to get a receiver. Mm-hmm. Turns out, maybe that wasn't the case.
Maybe that wasn't what was wrong.
But that being said, like, you think of, like, I was thinking Jordan Addison, like, turned Caleb Williams. Like, you need to bring in talent on the edges via the transfer portal, like Deion, you know? And I just think, like, this doesn't sound like James Franklin. Like, you look at this team, and they're just a ground. Because linemen, I don't have any, like, I don't feel like the right guard is going to go into the transfer portal. I feel like the guys who have, like, big NIL deals or big visible players, receivers, quarterbacks, yeah, running backs, they're going to go in the transfer portal. And James Franklin clearly didn't have him last night. Well, he does not have that, like, outside talent. No. If you combine Deion Sanders' program and Penn State, James Franklin, you'd have something.
Just put them together. I mean, you look across at Texas. I mean, Isaiah Bond, obviously, is a transfer. Matthew Golden's a transfer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, except then you look at, you know, Ohio State, Jeremiah Smith, you know, straight out of high school.
Ohio State, they brought in, they lost Jameson Williams. Like, basically, they're ridiculous, though. They get every five-star wide receiver goes there.
No, James Franklin should be all about the portal and all about wide receivers. And I heard the athletic director for Penn State gave an interview a couple weeks ago and said, you know, they really can't fundraise on the level of some of these other
Penn
programs.
State, yeah.
But with the new, when we think revenue sharing is going to come in, then they're going to be right there because they're getting a big check from the Big Ten. Penn State is from the TV network.
Well, yeah, but revenue sharing is going to even it out where everybody can pay. And if you're an individual player, then, you know, you might be attracted to other schools because of revenue sharing. And I don't think that's happening anytime soon. I mean, if you ever follow that case, House versus NCAA, it's a mess. And even if you do that revenue sharing, then the NIL will come in and pay over the top.
Right.
So say the players get $2 million. I didn't actually see that. Why can't Penn State fundraise?
According to them. I don't know. I mean, you said it's Philadelphia school. I have to imagine a lot of rich people have graduated from Penn State.
Yeah, I mean, it's the most popular school in Philadelphia. It's the state school of Pennsylvania. But it does seem, and you poo-poo this. I heard Georgia and Alabama are not, like, can't compete either. Feels like these Texas schools with all that oil money are just unbeatable.
Yeah, I mean, we got a little taste of that firsthand, literally a taste, when we got to go to a party for the University of Houston Collective.
Yeah.
And it was fancy.
Yeah, there was, it was in, we're allowed to say it was a Fertitta's apartment.
Yeah, his penthouse.
One of the Fertitta's, and Mattress Mac was there throwing money around like he was betting on the national title game.
It basically was, and we were in town for the Final Four. I still have my slippers.
Yeah.
From that event.
That
because
was
you
really
couldn't
cool.
wear high heels on Tillman Fertitta's basketball court that was in the penthouse. So for women, they had slippers that you could slip into, and I took them home. They only had men's sizes, thank God.
It was
the center for the Houston Rockets. I got to borrow his slippers.
Alperen Şengün.
He's the only ones that fit my colossally big feet.
Good pull.
Thank you.
By the way, on Penn State, this is very fascinating. In terms of the NIL situation, one of the issues I've now read in my quick Google search is a lack of a collective thought on what to do with Joe Paterno's legacy.
Yeah, it makes sense.
And there are a lot of folks who are withholding NIL because they don't honor Joe Pa enough.
Well, they took the statue down.
Right.
Oh, I thought you meant the other way.
No. It's the other. No, I mean, and my mom's a Penn State grad. I know Manny's the one who's, but I got Penn State, you know, ties too. And that is a very complicated thing in state college.
So people are withholding money because they want Paterno's, they want more honoring.
Jay Paterno is like, talked about how Penn State has not done him right.
Right.
Not done his dad right. So, yeah. I mean, that is apparently a thing and an issue that is, I don't know if that means that's why they've been kind of an average NIL team. I don't know if that's the reason why, but there are people who are attributing it to that within the Penn State circles.
Crimea River Paternos.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate to ask this, but it's also regional too, because college sports are not as big in the Northeast as the South.
Sure too. Yeah. I mean, but I mean, not in Pennsylvania though.
Yeah. Yeah, and while Paterno that's a unique situation, I would bet almost every school has something like that going on, some super central, like to them specific, even petty at times, fight. Like, I don't like the AD, I don't like this coach,
right.
I've got money, but I'm not giving it until you get this, or my name is on that, or whatever. So, like, I'm sure every school is dealing with some collection of, like, unhappy people who are not giving the money they think they should be giving.
Oh, my gosh, rich people demanding something?
well, you know, one fan base that I don't think has any, I think it feels like the Oregon, everyone's on the same, Oregon, I've seen a list, is number one in NIL. Like, nobody has any problem.
Okay, but think about that. There's a very obvious food chain there.
Yeah.
Who's
but
the top donor?
But they all feel like, and everybody loves Phil Knight, and everybody's on the same page for Oregon, and they are, like, they don't, maybe I'm, and I love people from Oregon, they're so nice, they don't feel like they get petty, so everyone's like, here's my money.
But also, I think you're almost sometimes better served finding the one mega source than trying to recruit all these guys in, like whether it's Phil Knight or old T-Boo school
Pickens.
Or Mattress Mac. Like, you need the one guy.
He sets the agenda.
Or here at St. John's, the body armor guy is basically
Mike Rapoli
is funding Rick Pitino. You need that one source.
At Miami, like, John Ruiz came in, and he went into legal issues, but he kind of got the whole Miami thing kickstarted.
I mean, you can't
be honest. Life Wallet never really sounded like an actual company.
But it's Miami.
You can't ignore the oil money, though. I mean, obviously, like Texas A&M are going to, by definition, be above anybody else. I mean, how are you going to compete
with that? I'm assuming SMU is also oil money,
and SMU is coming out of I mean, have you ever seen the campus of SMU? Mm-hmm. I doubt it is like. It looks like something out of fantasy. It's so rich there.
Well, I've seen, I can't remember his name now, a former professional team owner who keeps saying now the next thing for money guys is to basically buy a team. Like, you're going to buy a college team.
Wow.
You're going to be the bankroll, and you're going to make it, from that aspect, too, it's going to be more professional.
If you have a general manager, why not have an owner?
Right. Now, you can't call it an owner, but, like, that's the idea is, here's my money, I'm Penn State football.
Well, let's not also forget what happened at FSU. They've got a hedge fund that invested in the athletic department.
But now a lot of schools are going to... You were into that model. I think that's spreading.
Well, but here's the thing. With an owner or the hedge fund, you put a lot of money in, you're also expecting to get something out. I mean, Jerry Jones doesn't own the Cowboys just because he wants football in Dallas. He was making money off of that. So do you expect that you're going to get money back? Like, I think now with boosters, the collective, you're kind of giving out of the kindness of your heart. Like, my Uncle Wayne is a big University of Buffalo, loves to give to the program. The men's and the women's. Like, and he tells them exactly where he wants his money to go and all of that stuff. But he's not getting anything out of that. He just loves being a Buffalo alum and is able to do it.
But he's not getting access? He's not getting seats or, like, a handshake or whatever?
He gets he can call the coaches whenever he wants to. He can email them, but he's not actually getting any money back. Like, if I'm a hedge fund, I'm doing this as an investment.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder... You watch a game, there's 700 million commercials from the highest end companies in the world. I always wonder, like, where's that money going? I know it's actually going to, like, bowl administrators and stuff, but, like, maybe they want to get in on that TV money. It's a great question. Like, and also, I was reading the other day that youth sports, Bogues, which you're really into, baseball, that apparently private equity has just taken over that entire industry. And now all the baseball leagues are all owned, like Josh Harris and their fund bought these tons of youth sports things. Like, that's all private equity now, too, because there's so much money to be made. And I know that as a parent because we had to pay, like, $1,000 to do every little practice.
Yep.
So,
oh my gosh,
private equity is taking over sports everywhere.
When they charged me, I think it was north of $300 for my two-year-old to play soccer. I was like, I'm out.
Here's your iPad, Lucas.
Do whatever you want to do. Go play with a bag of knives. I don't care. We're not doing this. We didn't even get the free T-shirt. I was bummed.
I'd be very curious. I love this model that the owner... Watch Josh Harris, because he owns everything, right? The Devils, the Commanders, the Sixers. Yeah, if he buys a college team, then it's going to be a pro model. Because they are little pro teams, right? Or they're big pro teams in some
cases. BYU, that's basically what happened.
Yeah, runs that?
The owner of the Utah Jazz essentially just decided Utah sports is going to be a thing now. So he's got the new hockey team. We see all these massive recruits in basketball going to BYU, which is unheard of. Non-Mormon athletes going to BYU. Again, also kind of unheard of for guys as high stature as they are. But they've decided with Danny Ainge and a lot of the high power people in that area that they're going to make Utah basketball a thing. So now BYU has been a real force in college basketball. Yeah. I think college football, that's coming too.
They have the number one recruit, right?
Yeah, the basketball recruit.
Yeah.
But is he from Utah? AJ Dibbentinpah?
What was that?
AJ sounds like Salt Lake City.
AJ Dibbentinpah. Nope. I got to learn that. Just help me out.
I think it's Dibbentinpah or Dibbentinpah.
Dibbentinpah.
I wasn't that far off.
You added about four extra syllables.
Reasonable minds might
disagree. Believe me, I will get names a lot worse than that.
all right,
from Utah. He's been playing in Utah.
So wait, did he move to Utah because
for high school,
of like this?
He might have though, because he was born in Massachusetts.
Anyway, that's a great
hoop
point.
Hop-ed.
Wow, we've actually
grew up in Massachusetts and then moved to Utah.
We've actually solved the entire college sports landscape. We've just figured it all out.
Well, I mean, nobody mentioned the Saudis, so I think we still had some room to go in that conversation. But just wait. Andrew Bogish has updates for us today.
Hey, guys, now that I know Manny's a Penn State fan, I'm struck by the irony of a Yankee fan losing a postseason game because of a dude named Jeter.
In the 24-24 game, Jeter. Kick for the lead. It's up. The kick by Jeter is gone. And Notre Dame takes the lead 27-24 with 7 seconds to play.
That's how
it kind of was a baseball call, actually.
How it sounded on Penn State Radio from Learfield. Mitch Jeter, the 41-yard tiebreaker after Drew Aller's interception with 33 seconds left. The Irish, by the way, call Mitch Mr. January.
To go out there and just do what I do thousands of times, just to be able to go out there and hopefully give our team a chance to achieve team glory. That's what Coach Freeman obviously often talks about. Just happy to do that for our team.
Notre Dame won a sometimes ugly game 27-24 at the Orange Bowl last night. The Irish trailed 10-0. They led 17-10. They were down again 24-17 in the fourth. But now they're in the national title game for the first time in 12 years, while James Franklin drops to 4-20 against top 10 teams, 1-15 against the top 5 at Penn State. It does not matter at all, big picture, but the Rams losing home field advantage in their wild card game with the 14-win Vikings. Monday night's game will now be played in Glendale, Arizona, because of the L.A. wildfires. The Lakers and Hornets did not play in L.A. last night. Eagles wideout A.J. Brown did not practice yesterday with a knee issue, but he should be fine for Sunday's game with the Packers. Jordan Love and his elbow upgraded to a full practice yesterday, and those silly Raiders fired GM Tom Telesco yesterday, 2 days after letting go of head coach Antonio Pierce. Bradley Beal, 25 points off the Suns bench in a 123-115 home win over the Hawks. Tyler Hero scored 23 as Miami won in Utah, 97-92. The Jazz have dropped their last 9 home games, and the Cavs outscored the Raptors, 132-126 for a 12-game win streak. Darius Garland, a season-high 40+9 assists. Men's number 15, Oregon, surviving a trip to Ohio State, 73-71. Women's number 6, LSU, an 89-87 escape from number 16, Tennessee. AL Cy Young winner Tarik Skubal avoiding arbitration with the Tigers. He'll get $10.15 million for the coming season. That's not a lot, of course, but it is 3 times what he made for last season. And finally, may I introduce you to my new favorite name in hockey.
Back to Van Riemsdyk, bottom of the right wing circle, puts it in front, and there's a score! Luka Delbel-Belouz picking up his second National Hockey League goal in his second National Hockey League game.
That's Blue Jackets Radio. Luka Delbel-Belouz scoring in a 6-2 decision over Seattle.
Duff for cover.
Delbel-Belouz?
D-E-L space B-E-L space B-E-L-L-U-Z. I've never
seen... Italian?
I don't know. I've never seen a name with Delbel before.
He's got to be Italian, right? Spanish?
Luka,
Italian?
I mean, it fits, but I've never seen like a name constructed like that before.
Are there Italian and Spanish hockey players?
There has to be.
There is now.
It's a global game. Mostly like Finland.
They definitely
stuff,
do not play ice hockey in Italy, do they?
I'm sure they do.
I'm sure they have ice.
Oh,
they have
yeah,
a
like North
too.
Italy? Yeah, I don't know.
Well, they could have a. Yeah, they have Tuscany. Rinks in Arizona. They could have a rink in southern Italy.
Yeah, Perloff, I follow the Mexico women's national hockey team on Instagram. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure there's an Italian hockey team somewhere.
How are they doing this season?
Are they based in Jalisco?
I don't even know where they play.
Okay.
Probably like Minneapolis. If we're being real about
Ottawa.
It. Bogus, I thought you were going to give us an update about Jake Gaddin. Jake Gaddin, Sacramento sports reporter.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I can't tell if this was planted or if this was by accident, but our, you know, fellow sports yacker, James Gaddin from Sacramento, did a live hit from the newsroom, and you could see what was on his computer.
Ah, yes.
And he was looking up Rihanna's Valentine's Day line at work.
Big Rihanna guy myself, if I do say so myself.
Yeah, let's check Manny's computers.
By the way, looking up, an ad might have appeared. It might not have been him looking up. That looked like, yeah.
I mean, I think we could see the URL that was typed in. Yeah, maybe.
I got to tell you, if Rihanna in lingerie comes up on my screen, I might click that. Get a better view. I think
just
everybody.
One person.
Maggie's like, isn't this funny? And we're all like, yeah, hold on. I got to look at this Rihanna picture.
All of a sudden, the chat button went quiet for like 25 minutes and then all of a sudden circled back with, oh, yeah. But anyway,
I think everybody else react to that story the way, same way I did? Of like, okay, gonna look at this picture now.
I had already seen the picture before the story came out.
You had already seen it?
Oh, big time.
Yeah. By the way, she's making billions of dollars off that lingerie line.
You guys are looking at the pictures. Who's actually buying her makeup?
Can you imagine being ASAP Rocky, just being a stay-at-home dad? Remember his rap career? Why, you just got Rihanna. You got Rihanna to pay off all your bills and whatnot. Huh. Damn it, ASAP.
Manny.
That's why you're jealous of him because of the money?
I'm so envious of ASAP Rocky.
We can tell.
Manny, I've met Rihanna.
Have you really?
Yeah.
Oh, don't talk to me.
I thought she was untouchable.
This was the last year. These are either the 2006 or 2007 Arthur Ashe Kids Day before the U.S. Open. She was, I don't know, 17 years old. She was just beginning to be famous. And she was the main act at this charity day, if you don't know, before the U.S. Open tennis.
Yeah. Hey, they had this huge thing.
And I was working for the website at the time, the U.S. Open website, and I interviewed her. And it was not a good interview.
Oh, why not?
Because of you? Distracted?
She was not prepared. She was a baby, all things considered. And I don't think she understood the game of you have to say more than three words in an answer to a question.
Yeah.
But I met Rihanna.
She doesn't give a lot of interviews, I don't think.
I mean, again, this was, 17 years ago now, 18 years ago.
You have a photo?
No.
That had never happened. I'm just kidding.
There's probably a video somewhere.
I have a photo of Rihanna up on my screen.
I'm coming in there.
Okay. Well, good luck to Jake. I think it was on purpose. I think he wanted to go viral, and he did it. You guys seem to disagree on that. You didn't think it was a plant.
I can't imagine you would do that.
Yeah.
I just.
Well, why not? If you wanted to go viral, have like a naked lady or something.
Well, that's a little too.
I mean, that was an ad for Rihanna's lingerie clothes. I can't believe that actually made a print story. Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
All over the internet.
Big Fenty guy.
Listen, it's great makeup.
Sure.
On the woman's side of it, it really is good. It's a good quality product.
Maggie, I get these things on my social media. I think we all do. It's like, whoa, better scroll past that fast.
No, X
and
is crazy now.
Yeah, yeah.
Awesome.
By the way,
X is the
not
Wild West.
It's nothing I'm looking up. It gets sent to you, and you just have to scroll immediately away so it gets off your algorithm.
Well, I
Thanks,
know.
Musky.
Especially because I just go through videos, and then all of a sudden something out of left field will come in. I'm like, oh, great. Now that I'm going to get served 15 dudes punching each other in the stadium.
Yep. The key is you can't watch it because once you watch one like deep conspiracy video, all of a sudden, boom.
Yeah, you're in.
You're in a world that you don't really want to be in.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Someone who's consumed 15 JFK books in the last 6 months.
Next thing you know, you're Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, talking about lizard people in the Middle Earth. Anywho, I know it's been a bad morning and bad last night for everyone in the state of Pennsylvania. However, the Steelers may have caught a break. I got nothing for you, Penn State, but the Steelers may have caught a break. I know there's a lot of Penn State grads in Pittsburgh as well. We'll tell you the latest next. It's M&P. It's just a Rihanna fan club here. You guys are going to have to fight me to be the president of it. I love her. For other reasons besides you guys. I'm more in it for the music.
I was not. Okay, we got a big fight. Mag and I did. I didn't love the halftime show. I was actually there watching.
The Rihanna halftime show.
The Rihanna halftime show. And there was a lot of things moving up and down. But I hate to say it, Lady Gaga set the bar so high when she swooped in from the top of the stadium. Mm. And Rihanna was limited because she was pregnant.
Yeah.
Like, she couldn't swoop in from the top of the stadium. So I thought it lacked something a little bit. I wasn't so into that. And she was good, don't get me wrong. But you have to admit, like, as far as, like, spectacular, I'm not sure it was there.
It was one of the most confusing halftime shows because she had just had a kid. So, you know, we all know people. You have a kid, then you have a second one right away. They literally tell you this when you're leaving the hospital. Like, by the way, you could have another one right away. Sort of like just sort of warning you. At least they did that for me. But she was pregnant, but you couldn't immediately tell?
I could tell.
Well, like, you could, but no one's going to be like,
You there, though?
I was not there. I was watching on TV.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I thought on TV was obvious.
She was kind of holding her stomach a little bit. Anyway, we're talking about Rihanna because a sportscaster in Sacramento got caught doing a live update with Rihanna's an ad for her lingerie line, like, on the computer behind him.
That was the worst day of my life when Rihanna announced her pregnancies.
It doesn't mean you don't have a shot, Manny. I mean, all these celebrity couples break up all the time.
I'm trying to tell them. One of the goats of my generation is now back. She's in the streets now.
J-Lo?
Jessica Alba.
Oh, I saw that.
Jessica Alba. Manny, look, I know you lost Hailee Steinfeld, you lost Zendaya, but the real legends are entering the game again. So don't be worried.
I know. Eyes wide open, Manny. Kaplan says this has been a bad year for you. I mean, sports-wise. I know the Yankees blew it in spectacular fashion.
Oh, big time.
I get that Penn State lost last night, and that was brutal.
Yeah.
Still got a long way to go with the Knicks.
Yeah, they could have had a better end to the last season as well. Yeah, yeah. No, my life sucks.
May I offer a little romantic advice? Maybe get a date before you start pairing with Jessica Alba.
Perloff is the least sensitive person on earth.
Listen, Perloff, that's the last thing you need to hear, right? If Manny's going to be able to go to a game with you, there's a chance Alba may be there. Mm. Like, we need to actually be propping him up. This might be his opportunity.
Or What's-Her-Face, who OG Ananobi's always playing hard for.
Oh, What's-Her-Face.
A little respect, please.
Yes. Do not disrespect Anne Hathaway. Though.
No, not Anne Hathaway. The other one.
Emma Roberts.
Emma Roberts. Sorry, I wasn't a big Harry Potter
fan. Oh, yeah. But that's Emma Watson. I actually had to look up this Emma Roberts character. Like, I'm like, am I supposed to know this Emma?
Oh, gosh.
Because there's a bunch of others. There's Emma Stone and there's Emma Watson, who are far more famous than she is, right? What movies is Emma Roberts in?
She was in a Nickelodeon show.
Also, Julia Roberts is her aunt.
Yeah,
anyway,
Julia
let's
Roberts.
Get back to the football.
She was in a Nickelodeon show. Emma Watson was Hermione.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, same audience. The football side of this bogus just ripped in here. Are you all right?
Well, I'm two for two now. I've met Rihanna, and I've been in the same Sirius XM hallway as Jessica Alba, and no human being has ever smelled better than her.
That's creepy.
No, she was beautiful, and she smelled.
What she smell like? Cedarwood?
Heaven? I don't know. Perfection. As soon as heaven smells like, but it was like
generally
remarkable.
A stripper's name, but sure.
I can't believe Nevaeh. You just said that.
Did
she smell like clean clothes or more like flowers?
Yeah, I would say floral, but it was just the Jessica Alba experience exceeded expectations.
Wow,
I'll just say that
it's like LeBron James. How did he exceed
it's
the hype?
It's not like LeBron at all.
You know what I mean.
I don't know how LeBron smells, but Jessica Alba is on point.
Well,
unfortunately, you can't say that to her.
I think she'd be flattered if I said she smells heavenly.
Well, Manny can't say that. And be like, hey, my friend told me you smell really good.
Manny's not going to talk to Jessica Alba.
Why not? Trying to speak into existence.
No, because now that you're saying this, he's never getting the courtside seats. You guys are burying Manny. Perloff's never going to take him
if he has
to worry about telling Jessica Alba that she smells what nice.
I've been to like 8 games courtside. I've never talked to Jessica Alba or any woman at all. Period.
By the way, how ironic was it, Perloff, that the time we sat next to Dolan, the models weren't sitting next to him. There was no models there. There's always models there sitting in Madison Square Garden, but it was his son, which was kind of interesting.
So they're afraid that Perloff was going to steal one of them.
Or maybe he was going to tell Bogus, hey, this smell. Bogus like, what's the smell like?
Wait, can I give a little small piece of advice here for men? So obviously, you know, I know there's probably men out there like saying, oh, you can't tell a woman she smells nice. Like, you can't say anything to women anymore. And I'm just going to tell you the small distinction. If you do want to tell a woman that she smells nice, don't say, you smell nice. A little creepy. Your perfume. Whatever perfume you're wearing smells really nice.
Oh, what's the fragrance?
What's the fragrance you're wearing? That smells really nice.
Wait, is there a...
You smell good.
Yeah. I didn't walk by and take a sniff of Jessica Alba. It didn't linger. Yeah. It was just as she walked by, like, whoa.
Now my brain is just going over all the inappropriate things I could say to women. Like, so wait, you smell nice. Is that better? How about... Wow, you look good in that sweater.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I don't even know like, what, yeah. what is doing here. Like,
that
I don't
sweater's
know.
Doing work went out a while ago.
Yeah, I mean, listen.
FYI.
Yeah.
But no, you can say your perfume. That's a lovely perfume you're wearing. Not you. I got a good whiff of you.
You can't
and you smell
say,
nice.
If you're in an office and you go up to
girl,
some woman and say
nice.
Your perfume smells nice, just quit. It's not going to go well.
Someone once stopped me on the street because they said my perfume smelled nice. But you have to say the perfume.
Yeah,
you don't know what I smell like. You know what the perfume smells like.
How annoying was it to get that restraining order 15 minutes later?
Honestly,
I'd rather somebody
again.
Say like, whoa, you're hot than your perfume. perfume smells
nice. I'm just trying to get people not fired.
Like bogus sniffing around Jessica Alba?
Don't sniff around Jessica Alba.
I'm still here.
Not serious.
Apparently, by the grace of God.
Now we know why.
More football next.